know, the Queen never travels abroad without a selection of homeopathic remedies. That's true.
According to The Guardian, the Queen never travels abroad without at least 60 vials containing homeopathic remedies. She's also patron of the Royal London Homeopathic Hospital, which I can say has had a tough ride of late, as local healthcare trusts are refusing to refer patients in order to save their money for proper treatments. You're watching today's Right Stuff, of course, with Kay Adams, Stephen K. Amos, and our special guest, Tory peer Saeed Avarsi, and all president correct, of course. Still to come, when it comes to the big decisions in your life, who do you listen to? Who do you try and please? Yourself? Hey, it's your life, baby. Or your parents? Older, wiser, and only with your best interests at heart. 0207-173-5555 is the number for your thoughts on that. Right now, though, that classic debate, is homeopathy a waste of money? We might spend £1.6 billion every year on natural treatments and remedies, but science thinks we're literally throwing our cash away. True, some alternative treatments, such as acupuncture, have support from Western medicine, but not homeopathy, which is all about treating like with like, giving your body a dilution of the very thing that makes you ill in the first place. A dilution which, I suppose you can compare to a vaccine, then triggers the body to fight the problem naturally. Homeopathic treatments are available from everything from colds to cancer, depression to diabetes, and onwards, really. And many people who take them swear blind that they work, but not many Western scientists, who say most of the treatments are untested and unproven, and they claim ingredients are so diluted that the body doesn't even notice them, and that you get just as much benefit from taking a placebo. So, who is right? Eric went to the Royal London Homeopathic Hospital to find out what patients think.
I have localised referred pain in my right arm and shoulder, and I come here on a quarterly basis and have acupuncture and fluidity of movement, pain-free, excellent. Recommend it to anybody.
For me, it's worked for years and I'm happy with it. It doesn't have contraindications, it doesn't have side effects.
I feel it's very important for patients who feel that they're not getting the right thing from, or, you know, ordinary medicine.
I had 6 months of traditional treatment and then I decided I wanted to go drug-free. And the symptoms came back for about 6 months, and for some of that time I had homeopathic treatment, and now I seem to be extremely well.
Yeah, which is good to hear. I have to say, I know the hospital quite well, and it is an extraordinary place. If every hospital in the country was as nice as the London Homeopathic Hospital, I think we'd all feel a lot better. Nevertheless, Simon Singh has mauled homeopathy, I should say, in his book Trick or Testament. But many users still believe, Simon, that it works for them. And at the end of the day, if it makes people feel good, then that's great, isn't it?
Well, I think the trouble is, and the way I got involved in this was I asked a young student to visit 10 homeopaths, and she said she was going to West Africa and she needed protection against malaria. And the frightening thing was that 10 out of 10 homeopaths she visited were willing to give her unproven, unknown homeopathic remedies to protect her in a country where she'd be dead within 3 days. And so patient choice is important, but patients need to know the truth.
Did any of these people die? Did she die?
No, this was a story. We were doing undercover recording, and Newsnight followed it up, and yeah, it was a big investigation. And I think quite a big scandal.
I have to say, I travel every year with a group of guys, and I used to take malarial pills, Western malarial pills. They made me ill. I stopped taking them. I don't take anything anymore, because I'm a cynic, but I travel with lots of people that take homeopathic cures for malaria, and they haven't got malaria, so
Matthew, I don't know what that proves.
Matt, I
love your show, I love you, but you cannot say things like this, because you're putting people's health
in
lives.
I'm just telling you the truth. They took these pills, they didn't get malaria. Neither did I, but I didn't take any.
If you can take responsibility for that statement, you're a braver man than I.
It's a statement of fact. They took the pills, they didn't get malaria.
And neither did you, and you didn't take any.
And I didn't take any, so I'm not making any claim for homeopathy or not. I'm just stating that they didn't get malaria.
Absolutely. And I have to say, I mean, one thing also, Simon, you've got to just quickly say about when you sent the people and you sort of sent them undercover into the shops, it's a little bit like sending somebody into a gas station, a petrol station, and saying, you there behind the counter, Mr. Gas Station Man, can you tell me all about your oil and so on. You were actually talking to people that weren't necessarily
quite... We should just introduce yourself here, Janie. You're Janie Goddard.
Yes.
You're about as expert on homeopathy as we can get. You're president of...
The Complementary Medical Association.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Simon will say... and quite rightly, as far as I understand it, that many, many homeopathic treatments have been subjected to rigorous testing, the kind of testing that Western medicines go through, and they fail.
Actually, I completely agree. Yes, a lot of the trials have failed. However, there are an awful lot of trials that have succeeded as well. Now, the thing is, I think it's really important because there are different types of trials that work very, very well in different situations. And that's true for right across the whole board of science. So, for example, in homeopathy, one of the things we find works really, really well is the outcome trials. So, essentially, treating people using these medicines that are individualized to the individual person themselves. So what actually happens is a case-taking consultation process. The remedy, the medicine is then given, and then we see what happens. And we've had some enormous, large-scale trials with something like 23,000 consultations. And the people who came out of those trials, after 6 years, they were all followed up, and they all showed that they had something like 70%... satisfaction rate, which is fantastic.
The problem is you have no idea why those people get better. A lot of people get better because of their own healing abilities, time.
But if a homeopathic cure triggers a natural healing response, that's a cure, isn't it?
Does it trigger it, or is it just something we have already? I've got a bit of a sniffle at the moment, I'll be fine in a week. So the question is, you compare, there have been two very good trials, one on childhood asthma, one on headaches, where the drugs were individualised, the homeopathy wasn't, and there was no significant effect.
Well, actually, we've got other trials. So what I prefer to do is I prefer to look at animal trials because, you know, then you can't actually invoke the placebo effect, can you? So when you've got a bunch of animals where you're actually testing them, there's just some research printed recently in one of, I think it was actually in Immunology, which is one of the world's leading scientific journals, and it actually showed that animals that were, mice actually, that were exposed to something called Chagas disease.
Dear, 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 can
indeed,
I get that?
Chagas. Come on,
even
you
so,
doctor,
even
really.
So, it sounds
come
good.
Come on.
Is it nasty?
It's really nasty.
Okay, okay.
And you don't want it. You don't want to go there. So what actually happened was that these mice were treated homeopathically prior to being infected. It was a properly run, double-blind, placebo-controlled trial, the gold standard that Simon's actually talking about. And what actually happened was that the untreated mice died. The mice that weren't treated actually did not get the disease.
So can I just say that? I mean, Simon, you've got trials that prove your case, and Ginny, you've got trials that prove
indeed
your case, which
yes
makes it very difficult for us to know where
indeed
the truth lies. So, Simon, if there are lots of people out there...
I
don't have any great experience of it, to be honest, but I've got lots of friends who would absolutely swear by it, but I couldn't personally say. But there are hundreds of thousands of people in this country, and certainly worldwide, who do believe in it, Simon. If they do, and they think it helps them, and Janie's got trials for it, and you've got trials against it, what's the harm in it?
I think the harm is that people can go to homeopaths. For example, the Society of Homeopaths last year on World AIDS Day held a conference about how homeopathy could perhaps help HIV. Now, that's hugely irresponsible. It's misinformation. And I think if people have the right information, and the right information is that if you look at all the trials en masse, get rid of the bad ones, keep the good ones, and you can define very clearly what a good trial is, the overall evidence is negative.
Can I just say
one other very quick thing? I would love homeopathy to work. I think it would be fantastic. And I endorse some other alternative remedies. So the question is, why do I not endorse homeopathy? It's because it doesn't work.
Well, actually, you've got to also look at trials that have been run on things like childhood diarrhea. Okay, there have been reproducible, double-blind, placebo-controlled trials all over the world in developing countries where children have had diarrhea. They've been treated using homeopathic medicines and also blank medicines, placebos as well. Now, what's actually happened is that the children who've been treated have had shorter duration of diarrhea. Now, why is this important? Well, it's important because you look at what's going on at the moment with the cyclone, where possibly 1 million people have been made homeless. They will not have access to water. They won't have access to shelter. They won't have access to clean water. You will see these diarrheas happening.
There's a huge responsibility resting on your shoulders, because to take the point that Simon makes, if you take something like HIV or even in cancer, and some people would recommend homeopathy for cancer.
You can't actually... The way homeopathy actually works... Sorry, I've got to explain. It's really, really important that you understand it. When you're actually treating a patient who has a severe disease, like cancer or HIV, you are treating the symptoms that they show. So what we're talking about is palliative medicine.
Right.
Okay? So we never, ever claim to treat HIV or to treat cancer. In fact, it's illegal to claim to treat cancer under the Cancer Act. So we as homeopaths, we actually treat the presenting symptoms, so what that person actually
right
is showing at that particular time.
Okay,
and
we're looking at helping the body
to help itself.
The problem you have really, isn't it, that you in our country, NHS, the problem we have is we have scarce resources. How do we spend those scarce resources? Do we spend it on alternative therapies? Do we spend it on traditional medication? And I think my own view is that if it makes people feel better, And I had a choice between choosing a couple of more hospital managers and alternative therapy. I'd go for alternative therapy.
Well, don't you think the key decision should be you should spend money on what works and what's been proven to work and what's been proven to be safe as well?
It's not just about the cure at the end of the day. It's about the whole quality of life issue. And a lot of people who use homeopathic drugs, I mean, we grew up on all sorts of lotions and potions. I don't know what my mum was giving us, but it always made us feel better.
For example,
if you look in the Indian subcontinent, there's a massive proportion of the country that use homeopathic medication.
Just about everybody on Ayurveda,
and it seems to work.
Saying use what works. Well, the problem is, according to the British Medical Journal's clinical evidence website, they have actually just recently shown that only 15% of all of the medical interventions, so the drugs, the surgery, et cetera, has ever actually been proven to be beneficial. So 85% of what's used in medicine has never, ever been proven to work.
Isn't that probably one of your problems, Simon, that you're becoming, from a scientific point of view, you're actually threatened by the fact that people are turning to this other area?
No. My co-author is a professor of complementary medicine, was a practicing homeopath, and we really care about patients and what patients get at the end of the day. And you're absolutely right, the care that people get at the homeopathic hospital is fantastic. Care could be replicated, that personal interaction...
Which leads me to my question to you, Janie. Is it not the fact that you're just actually targeting people who are actually at a vulnerable point in their lives and then just looking for the answer anywhere?
Actually, we do tend to find that people come to us very much as a last resort when they've found that conventional medicine has not worked. However, there's another set of patients who come to you because they actually are looking at preventative medicine. Now, preventative medicine, if we can get everybody to live healthy, so eat right, exercise, have enough fluids and so on, they will actually be healthier, and that we also treat that set
but
of patients
really
as well.
But that's where it really feels on the scientific level, doesn't it? Because preventative, how do you know it's preventing it?
Okay. Exactly, we can agree on that. If the advice given is great, we agree with that.
Forgive me, I want to jump in. I want to find what you got at home have to say about homeopathy. It should be interesting. By all means, jump in. I'm sure you will, Amy.
If you want to call, you can ring us right now on 0207 173 5555.
Who have we got on the line now?
Oh, sorry.
No,
you can call us on that as well. We've actually got Susan from Kent on line one.
Morning, Susan.
Hello.
Hi there, what's up? What do you think about homeopathy, Susan?
Well, I've been taking homeopathic medicines for over 30 years.
Yeah.
And I started off when I was 25. I had ulcerative colitis. I'd seen the specialist. And he told me that it was so bad, I was taking awful medicine from him that gave me terrible side effects. It was so bad I'd have to have the colostomy in a bag, and I said, die first. And he said, if you don't, you most probably will. And then a friend of mine came to me and told me about this, and I thought it was weird and wacky, but when you're that unwell...
You'll give it a go.
And the homeopathic doctor, who had trained first as an ordinary GP, so she, you know, knew both sides, said it took a long time to get like this, it will take a long time to get better. She gave me homeopathic medicine and a diet. It took up to 2 years to properly fix the problem, but within a month I just felt so much better that I was able to confess to my doctor that I'd stopped taking the drugs and was doing this. At first he was furious, and so I said, oh, I won't do it anymore.
Susan, I
found out that it actually worked. And
clearly from the fact you're on the phone.
I have not had a problem.
Okay, now Simon, I know that we could probably do this show all day, and we'll have calls like that all day from people who have gone so far down the route with Western medicine, given you know, grim ultimatums, you know, morbid ultimatums. They switched to homeopathy, and they're still around. And these are the cases that I think we find so fascinating.
I'm delighted that Susan's feeling better. And as she said, it would take a long time to get to the stage she was in. It would take a long time to recover. And we don't necessarily really know it was a homeopathy.
No.
But you're right, we will get a lot of calls today about how wonderful homeopathy is, because what worried me when I sort of came on the show this morning was that yesterday I think Janie sent out an email to as many people as possible saying, tell as many other people as possible to ring in the show, and you very kindly gave the number of the show, which I thought was a little bit unfair.
This is the 21st century,
yes.
And it is not unknown for people
saying,
to do
I'm
the
on
same.
Telly. I phone in, show your email. Support. Yeah.
Well, Simon, would you ever accept that maybe you are not doing the right tests? maybe there's something happening in homeopathy that you don't understand that is beyond your ken.
The how it works is kind of irrelevant, because a lot of medicine, when it makes its breakthrough, we have no idea how it works. And yet you test it, you say, my God, this really does work, from antibiotics to Helicobacter pylori, antidotes for ulcers. And then you go away and say, well, this clearly does work because we've done the tests. It's the simplest thing in the world. It goes back 150 years. They had sailors who had scurvy. They gave some lemon juice. They gave some cider. They gave some vinegar. Those with lemon juice recovered. It's a clinical trial. It's the way medicine's progressed.
OK, let's take another call, please, Amy.
It's Ed from Kingston Online 2.
Ed, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Are you a believer, sir?
No, I'm not.
OK.
But I'm swaying. I mean, if you can make people well and make them feel well, and it gets rid of the worried well.
Does it matter if
the NHS?
Does it matter if some of these homeopathic treatments, or many of these homeopathic treatments, have failed conventional Western scientific tests, if people feel better at the end?
Well, yes. I mean, if it gets them off the critical hospital list, I mean, the reason I rang in is because my mother died in hospital because she didn't get a doctor at the weekend. Basically, when she went in, we watched the Elvis thing, and then she said, oh, I suppose I better go in. And the last thing she sort of said was, don't get ill at the weekends because there's never a doctor and the nurses don't speak English. And when you're old and you've got a stroke, it's kind of crucial to have English nurses that speak English, because two people that can't speak English properly, then...
I've been in hospital recently and everybody spoke English absolutely fine, so maybe you're just very unlucky where you
are.
Well,
it's in Kingston, yes.
Yeah?
And also, the doctor looked at the x-rays were up on the... At 3 o'clock in the morning, he said that the ward was empty. The ward, they'd have to make some space.
Ed, is this about homeopathy?
Well, it is. It's about diverting resources, and basically we need doctors.
Well, I'm not talking about NHS Direct. I'm talking about homeopathy. A lot of people pay it out of their own pocket. Thank you very much, Michael. We'll get one more.
£20 million was spent refurbishing the Royal Homeopathic Hospital.
Yeah.
Spent on homeopathy and related therapy. If that money spent on nurses.
Now, I investigated this, and the actual cost to the NHS as a whole for the Royal Homeopathic Hospital is pennies.
Absolutely.
Compared to tiny compared to the enormous amount of money currently held for legal situations, which is billions of pounds.
So £20 million is pocket
relative money to billions of pounds being spent held back for legal fighting. Yes, it is.
It's about £500 million on complementary medicine within the NHS is the current estimate. The numbers are hard to pin down.
Managers and tick boxers and paper shufflers and everything else in the NHS.
I've got to jump in and wrap things up, because otherwise we'll have no time for our last part. I knew it would be a heated debate. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It always is. Janie and Simon, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Give it up for them, ladies and gentlemen. And I think, yes, they're going to leave as friends. Thanks for the kind words. Cheers.